You could also flip it around and say, don't forgive, get bitter. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about both different things, about forgiveness and bitterness. And hopefully we can find some application somewhere in here for each and every one of us. Matthew chapter number 6, verse 9, obviously as we're very familiar with it, is the Lord's Prayer. And it says, after this manner therefore pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for the opportunity just to be here, speak from your word. And would you give me clarity, and would you help there to be understanding? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What is the idea of forgiveness? You know, when we think of forgiveness, I actually usually, and when I was looking it up, found definitions that kind of back this up. Think of a couple different things that forgiveness might apply towards. Obviously, we have the classic one of forgiving a debt, some type of financial forgiveness. Maybe you owe a certain amount of money, and then at the when you're supposed to be due it, someone pays for you, or someone covers the cost for you, or someone just writes it off and says you don't owe anything. That's a type of financial forgiveness maybe some of us have experienced. You know, it'd be nice. Some of us maybe wish we experienced that one a lot more often, was the financial forgiveness. There's also the forgiveness for crimes. We often use the word pardon for that one. But it's got a very similar idea of forgiveness. If someone receives, and the president issues so many, and I believe governors of states can also issue pardons, and maybe there's even other people that can, but the president every so often can issue a pardon, and I think I heard something the other day about the number of pardons that he's issued in the time in office. I don't remember what the number was, but he can't say, you know, maybe you committed a crime or you were convicted for something. He can literally write you off and say, you're totally forgiven, you can go for free. Obviously, the forgiveness that hopefully each and every one of us is the most familiar with is the forgiveness Jesus has given each and every one of us. And we could say a lot on that. We're going to be hopping around here for a couple of passages, then we're going to bring it together, and I hope we can take some away from it. So Colossians chapter 3 now, we're going to be flipping around a bit. Colossians chapter number 3, these are all passages that have to do with the idea of forgiveness, of being pardoned. Colossians chapter number 3, verse 13 says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, and this is a phrase or an idea you'll find very often in Scripture. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. The idea of forgiveness is a complete stop. It's a cancellation. There's no feelings taken away negative from the idea of forgiveness. With Christ, when we ask Jesus our personal Savior, and I trust every single one of us here has, if you haven't, that's a decision you gotta make. But when we ask Jesus to save us, the idea of what we're being saved from is from our sin, and He's forgiven every single one of us of any sin we committed in the past, commit now, and will commit in the future. The idea is, seems very profound, but it's pretty amazing what God's done for us. That we don't have to worry about it in a sense, whether or not we're forgiven is pretty amazing. You know, sometimes with young people, and I remember this as a kid, when you do something that's wrong, you're told you have to apologize, and then, you know, so you say you're sorry to, you know, your sibling, whoever it is, and that they in return are supposed to say something back, usually is how it works. You know, if I did something wrong to one of my brothers or sisters, and maybe I don't know, whatever it might have been, I probably did a lot of things to my siblings back. But if I did something wrong and then I was told to apologize, in return, usually the parent would then say, okay, what do you say? Well, I forgive you. Right? Isn't that how it's supposed to work? Sometimes you wonder, though, by their tone of their voice or their attitude, if they really did forgive. There's that question mark above it. Not with what Jesus did for us. There's no question marks involved with the sin that God's forgiven us. All right, that's one passage. Here's another one. Ephesians 4, just a couple pages over. Ephesians 4, 31 says, Ephesians 4, 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Matthew chapter, we already went to Matthew chapter number 6. Let's go to 1 John 1, 9, familiar one fact. We don't even have to turn there if you don't want. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, we can think of a lot of different illustrations or things that illustrate forgiveness. And obviously the greatest one is what Jesus has done for us. But on a practical level, there's a lot of different ways in which people forgive. One such example, I'd like to read just this little story to you real quick of a man that experienced real forgiveness. Early one morning in Dacula, Georgia, Matt Swatzel was driving home from a 24-hour shift as a firefighter and EMS. He'd only had 30 minutes of sleep in the last 24 hours. He was less than 4 miles from his home on October 2, 2006, when he suddenly heard what he calls the most awful sound I've ever heard. Some of you maybe have experienced struggling to stay awake before sleeping. While driving, you struggle to stay awake and you fall asleep. That's what this man did. Swatzel, then 20, realized he had fallen asleep at the wheel and crashed. When he got out of the car, he realized he had hit another vehicle. He saw the car of 30-year-old June Fitzgerald. At the time, she was pregnant and with her then 19-month-year-old daughter, Faith, in the car. The 19-month-old daughter, Faith, survived. The mother and baby unborn didn't. June's husband, Eric Fitzgerald, was a full-time pastor. He grieved the loss of his wife and child as any real man would. And after a period of time, one of the young people in his church asked him and said, how do you think the man that hit your wife's vehicle feels? Eric thought about it for a little while and decided he better do something about that. You see, if there's something hard to forgive, this would be an illustration of something that's very hard to forgive over. Eric decided not to press charges. He was able to help lessen Swatzel's sentencing, and all that was put on him was community service, and he was on a 2-year parole. After 2 years, Eric was allowed to contact Matt, and he was able to lead him to Jesus. See, that's a great example of someone that in our idea, in our mind, had every right to not forgive. He could have had every reason not to forgive this guy who obviously shouldn't have been on the road, but he did. And I wonder how many of us can't forgive for a lot lesser things than that. I wonder how many of us struggle to forgive people we are close to, people maybe not so close to, over a lot smaller things than that. Luke 17. Luke 17, verse 3. Jesus is talking here. He's got a pretty good concept of what forgiveness is, and I think he's been a good one to speak on it. Luke 17, verse 3. Take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day again turn to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now, obviously, we'd like to think someone would learn their lesson if they keep having to ask forgiveness seven times in a day. But that's not the point Jesus is trying to make here. The point is, we really have no reason not to forgive. Every time we're challenged with the idea to get angry or not forgive someone, really the answer seems to be to look back to what Jesus has done. To look back to see what Jesus has forgiven each and every one of us. And if we don't, the problem arises of what is called bitterness. Bitterness is a pretty awful thing. And just for fun, I went online and you can look and you can take, you know, different tests, or they give you different things to look for bitterness. Just for fun, I want to read 10 signs of bitterness from this article that I found. A bitter person, they generalize, they hold grudges, they like the sound of their own voice, they're jealous, they make no changes, they seek attention, they struggle to accept advice, they don't like cheerful people, they never congratulate others, and they gossip. That was this article's 10 things to look for in a bitter person. But bitterness is actually a pretty scary thing. In fact, it is probably one of the most common sins in a lot of Christian circles. We can overlook it sometimes. We can get past it. You know, it has it. Obviously, Hebrews 12. Let's turn to Hebrews 12 real quick. Hebrews 12, a familiar verse there. Verse 13. Hebrews 12, 13 says, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You've heard that phrase before, the root of bitterness. Whenever I think of that, to me, maybe just because I'm a landscaper, but it goes back to landscaping. Obviously, a lot of you've pulled a lot of weeds before, and you know the roots are the key to get out. But more so, I think about what oftentimes Christians do, and more than just Christians, people do in their lives, is they try and mask problems that they have. They try and make things look not as bad as they really are, and this is what it looks like. So let's say you have a flower bed in your yard that's really just a mess. When I talk about a mess, you can't tell the weeds from the plants, and maybe even the weeds are taller than the plants, that type of, it's just a mess. You can quick fix things real easy. You could take, you know, maybe your weed whacker or your lawn mower, you could mow it and get it down real flat, and then you can throw a thing down called weed barrier. Some of you maybe know what I'm talking about. It's this fabric that you can put down that resists weeds for a certain amount of time. Some maybe longer than others, and a lot of it has to do with how it's maintained. But as a landscaper, when you lay weed barrier, you try and cover up all edges and where the plants are in the weed barrier. You try and keep the opening as small as possible because the weeds have the easiest time growing where the weed barrier is not. A lot of times along the edges of houses or and along the plastic edging, that's where the weeds first come up because that's where the weed barrier is not touching. But the fact is, if you don't take care of the weeds along underneath and along those edges and in those openings, sooner or later, in fact, most likely in a short amount of time, the weeds will start taking over yet again. Very quickly, actually. But now you can make things look very well when you put that weed barrier down, you put that fresh mulch or that fresh stone down on top. Things look really sharp. And sometimes I think that's what we do in our lives. When it comes to forgiving people like Jesus would want us to forgive, we like to mask things. We like to throw the weed barrier down, figuring it'll take care of itself. It's kind of how bitterness likes to operate. You see, bitterness is full of excuses. Reasons why you don't have to forgive. Reasons why it shouldn't be you that's doing the forgiving. Reasons why the person that wronged you should be the one coming to you. Reasons why, and bitterness keeps growing. Psalm 103 verse 12 really puts into picture the type of forgiveness we've received. As far as the east is from the west, which is pretty far. If you ever taken geometry, most of you probably took geometry at one time or another. When you have a line and it has arrows at each end, it's called an infinite line. It has no end. That's the idea of this verse here. As far as east is from the west, in other words, there's no ending to it. So far hath he removed our transgression from us. And yet we struggle with little tiny things that we can't forgive. We allow that bitterness, that anger, the reasons why to creep up into our lives and really ruin us. Traveling with Dr. Jim, you get to come across a lot of bitter teenagers. A lot of it stems from divorced homes is a common one you'll see a lot of bitterness in. It stems from kids being forced to put in a situation. A lot of times kids being forced to put into Christian schools when they don't want to. Because Dr. Jim, the organization I travel with, does a lot with Christian schools. And a lot of times there's kids moved from public schools to Christian schools as their parents grow in the Lord. There's bitterness that starts there because they're put in a situation they don't want to do things they don't want to do. You find a lot of bitter teenagers, a lot of bitter young people are the ones that get themselves into a lot of crimes. Get themselves into a lot of trouble. One of the most bitter teenagers I met, and I'm not saying this is necessarily the case with every single one of them, but one of the most bitter teenagers I met was the one that I got to lead to Jesus, and we had to work through his bitterness first, but he was the one that tried to act like he was a girl in a certain situation, even though he was clearly a boy. There's a lot of bitterness there with him. Sometimes there's bitterness in our lives and we've got to take care of it or it grows. That pastor had to show real, real forgiveness. I can't even imagine the things that he had to go through or hearing the news of knowing his wife and unborn child were killed, and now he's got to take care of a 19-month-old and still pastor a church. I wonder for us, what little thing is holding us back? What little root of bitterness is in our lives? What can we not forgive over? Maybe it's something big. I don't know stories of everyone in this room, but maybe there's things from your past that you've never really truly forgiven. You've never really truly said, God, I forgive these people. You've never gone to someone and asked for their forgiveness. Daniel 9:9, you don't have to turn there. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. See, sometimes I see myself as the people of Israel in like the book of Numbers and the continuous rebellion, the continuous unthankfulness, the continued complaining, even though God keeps forgiving them for it. And there's times when God gets angry and he threatens to destroy or literally just demolish them and start over. You know what? Maybe this was a mistake keeping for them. I feel like sometimes that may be how God is with me. Sometimes I think maybe I just don't get things right away and I have to keep asking God to forgive me for the same things over and over again. But the awesome thing is, I know he will. Now, that's no excuse for doing the same things. It's just not being smart on my part and areas of growth I need to have. But if God can forgive us so much, can't we forgive others? There's a song in our hymnal, "To God Be the Glory." And I think it really sums up a lot that we have to realize. God's forgiven us so much. Why can't we forgive others instead of letting this bitterness ruin our lives? "To God be the glory, great things he has done, he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life for an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood to every believer, the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son, but purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, that the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he hath done." He's forgiven us of so much. We have no excuse not to forgive others. Don't let that bitterness grow up, ruin your life. It's really a harmful thing and it leads to a lot worse. And I'm sure we could have testimonies of people here that said, you know what? I lived with bitterness in my life for too long. When I finally got it taken care of, there's so much relief. Maybe that's you tonight. There's bitterness in your life. There's people you haven't forgiven. There's things in your heart, you know, aren't settled. Just remember what Jesus has done for you. How dare we not forgive others of things they do to us? Lord, thank you that you've forgiven us so much. The sins we've committed, the wrong things. Lord, we're indebted to you forever. And Lord, would you help us? Those little things of bitterness that have sprung up because of unforgiveness, would we take care of those? Lord, would we be thankful for all you've done for each and every one of us? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.